the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight about a very important topic which concerns every parent, every Coptic parent living in America. And the title of the lecture tonight is The Coptic Family in Crisis in America. The Coptic Family in Crisis in America. Some of you may be wondering why I have invited you to speak to you tonight about this topic. The simple reason is that I feel that the Coptic family is in crisis here in this country, in America. Again, some of you may be shocked at these words and may say to me, why are you saying this to us? Our families are fine and everything is rosy, and our kids are doing fine at school. We all have reasonable jobs. Our children are all well-dressed and well-fed. Please stop exaggerating and trying to frighten us. Well, if by the end of this lecture I have made you realize that the opposite of this is the truth in many homes, then I have achieved something positive today. If you realize by the end of this lecture that you need to change your family life at home, and you really decide to do so, then we are heading on the right track. There are so many questions that each of you needs to ask of themselves. And one of those questions is, are you there for your children? Are you there for your children? And let me begin by a small story to illustrate my point. Once a father was invited to his son's nursery school to observe one of the children in the class who was a problem child and was causing some problems in the classroom. And this father was invited to go into the classroom and to see how the children were acting, and in particular this child. And as this father was sitting in the back of the class observing a group of boys, and including this group of boys was his own son, and he heard them speaking, and he heard this following conversation that was taking place amongst these young boys. And the first boy said to the other group of boys that was with him, he said to them, "My daddy is a doctor, and he makes a lot of money, and we have a swimming pool." And the second boy answered him and said, "My daddy is a lawyer, and he flies to Washington and talks to the president." And the third child answered and said, "My daddy owns a company, and we have our own airplane." And then his own son, the father's that was there, his son said with great confidence and assurance, he said, "My daddy is here," while looking very proudly at his father. Children regard the public presence of their parents as a visible symbol of caring and of love that is far more significant than any materialistic support could ever be. They need you, not your money or your position or anything else. They need you to spend time with them and to care about them. I remember a few weeks ago, after speaking to a group of parents, that one mother came to complain to me about her husband. This husband thought that all of the needs of his family he could buy for them with his money. He would say to his wife, "Tell me what you need or how much money you want and I'll give it to you." This is what he would say. Actually, what the family needed was the father himself. To be there for his wife, to be there for his children, to be part of the everyday life of his family. This is what is lacking in so many families today, in so many Coptic families today. And this may be the case with mothers too, who may be working full time now and have no time for their own kids. My question to you then is, who is bringing up your children in this country? Who is bringing up your children? And that answer is easy. If you are not bringing up your children, then they are being brought up and taught by the television, by videos, by friends, and by the society around them. This is the sad state of the Coptic family in America. I will concentrate today on the teenage years of your children. And I want to give you some important statistics that you need to know and need to be aware of. A survey that was done recently shows that parents in general have little or no idea about what's really going on in their teenagers' lives. And they put a set of questions, and they saw what the response was from the teenagers and what the response was from their parents. The first question they asked, have you had one or more alcoholic drinks? The teenagers said, 66% say yes, they have. Whereas the parents only thought that 34% think that they have. You can see it's about half of the response. 66% of teenagers have had one or more alcoholic drinks, and their parents, only 34%, think that they did. Have you considered suicide? 43% said yes of teenagers. They thought about suicide. Their parents' response, 15% think they have, about a third. Have you ever smoked? Teenagers, 41% said yes. Their parents, 14% think they have. Again, you can see very clearly that the parents have no idea what is happening with their children. And then the next one is very alarming. Do you tell your mom about boyfriends and sex? Teenagers said 36% of the time they do tell them. Parents thought that they tell them 80% of the time. Have you ever used drugs? Teens' response, 17% said yes, they have. And parents thought that they only told them 5% of the time. Have you lost your virginity? Teens' response, 70% said yes, they have lost their virginity. Parents' response, 14% think they have. Another great contrast there. And finally, have you thought about running away from home? 35% of teenagers said yes. Parents' response, 19% think they have. So it is very clear that parents do not have a clear understanding of how their children are behaving in this society. And this, I think, if we did the same type of survey within Coptic families, we would find probably the results would be the same or even more alarming than this. So parents are not quite aware or fully aware of everything that is happening in their child's life. Or they may be ignoring the problem. Or they may think that their children are angels and would never do these things. Our children are wonderful, they are great, they come to church every Sunday, they would never do all of these things. And we close our eyes or we just ignore the problem, or we may not even be aware of it. We need to really wake up and look around us and see what is happening amongst our teenagers today. You need to come and listen to what your children are telling us in the youth meetings that we hold and some of the questions that they are asking. One girl a few weeks ago told me, when I asked her concerning her relationship with her parents, she said that there was no relationship. They would never sit together to eat a common meal or sit and speak together or have any type of communication. She would just go into her room and lock herself up there into her own little world without any communication whatsoever with her parents. And her mother was sitting right there and listening to her as she was saying this. She does not talk to them, she says. There is nothing to talk about. No communication. And in a survey that was recently done amongst young people in Coptic young people in Sydney, the same type of result was found, that 50% of them said that the greatest problem they have with their parents is lack of communication. The family does not sit together, as I said, to eat or even to speak. And this is a recurring and alarming problem with many, many teenagers. Sometimes I also feel that there is no love. One young girl that I met a few weeks ago came to speak to me, and she was having a relationship with a boy who was 3 years older than her, and she was still a teenager. And the reason why, because she didn't feel any love from her father. This is what she said to me. She doesn't feel that her father loves her. And yet with this boy, she felt love, she felt secure, she felt wanted, and she could not find this with her father. Very saddening. You must realize as well that you are fighting against a rapid change in family values in America. In Newsweek magazine, recently, the question was asked, what is happening to the family? What is happening to the family here? They asked this question. And here I will quote a few sentences from this article, and this is what it said. The American family does not exist. Rather, we are creating many American families of diverse styles and shapes. In unprecedented numbers, our families are unalike. We have fathers working while mothers keep house, fathers and mothers both working away from home, single parents, second marriages bringing children together from unrelated backgrounds, childless couples, unmarried couples, with and without children, gay and lesbian parents. We are living through a period of historic change in American family life. End of quote. This is the end of the family as we know it in this country. And this, of course, makes your struggle much tougher to hold on to Christian and moral values here. It is a very loose society and full of immorality. I do not want you to arrive at despair and loss of hope and feel that there is no more hope. Not at all. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But I feel I need to be honest with you and make it clear to you that it is a serious and a huge problem that you need to take care of. And I want to move on to some specific issues that need to be addressed. I will look at 5 points quickly. The first two is about understanding your child and about teenage relationships and sex education at home. Also about understanding the society in which you are living in, the peer pressure that your children face from their friends, the music, the media, the drugs, the internet, all of these things you need to be aware of to be a successful parent in this country. Also, you need to be a good role model to your children. And finally, the spiritual life of the family. So let us look at each of these points briefly. The first 2 points about understanding your child and teenage relationships. Early teen years is when puberty begins, and this is the time that the young person begins to mature sexually. At this age, the child is not only physically able to engage in sex and to reproduce, but the flood of sexual hormones is very intense and continues to build through the early 20s. You need to know this and begin to deal with the changes that are happening to your child and not to ignore them. They will have lots of mood changes. One minute they will be happy and joyful, another time they may be angry and shouting. And all of this is because of the changes that are happening in their physical body and emotionally as well and psychologically. And so you need to be then more understanding. So you need to begin to know this and to begin to deal with the changes that are happening. It is a period also of great confusion, of curiosity, of fear and excitement for your child. Also, the person's body cannot tell if he or she is married or not, if sexual involvement is proper or not. All the young person's body tells him or her is that the desire is there and that it is a very powerful desire. You must also realize that puberty is beginning much younger in life today, not like 50 or 60 years ago. 100 years ago, it used to begin at the age of 16, and now it begins at 12 or even sometimes earlier. Your child is maturing intellectually sooner as well, through the computer age and the advancement of technology. But even though kids are maturing physically and intellectually much faster than their parents, but emotionally, they are far behind where their parents were emotionally at their age. So then, they are far less able to deal with the pressures that they have to face because they are emotionally immature. And the reason for this emotional immaturity at this age is the lack of contact with adults. Namely, they have a lack of contact with their parents in particular. Children are also getting more information about sex at an earlier age than ever before. More and more detailed information about sex is conveyed to them in the movies that they watch, in the music that they listen to, in the television programs that they see, in advertising, in books, and in magazines. We'll look at this later in a bit more detail. Also, sex education classes are distributing more information and to younger children than ever before. And the reason is out of the concern over the epidemic of sexually transmitted diseases and of the problem of teenage pregnancy. There is 1 million teenage pregnancies in America each year. 1 million. Children are becoming sexually active at increasingly younger ages. They may begin to experience sex at the age of 10 or 11. And this is not uncommon either. The media, their friends, and even their teachers are telling children how the body works. But they are not telling young people how to handle their desires in a way that keeps them pure and honors God. That is why you as parents then have a vital role to play. You must speak to your children about sex education. Teach it to them in a Christian way. Teach them how to control their emotions and give them good examples to follow. Remember that their friends are going to put so much pressure on them to become sexually active. The pressure is very, very great, and you need to be aware of this. The young person wants to be accepted by his friends or by her friends and don't want to feel left out because their friends have a great influence and they mean so much to them at this age. One high school girl said the following about this pressure. She said, "The girls start to view virginity as an embarrassment. To be a virgin now is something embarrassing for young people, and this is because of the pressure that's put on them." So she says, "The girls start to view virginity as an embarrassment. Friends tease and pressure to the point of humiliating the virgin girl for not having sex with the opposite sex. Friends call them prudes or nerds, or even go so far as to call them homosexuals, because of their refusal to have premarital sex. Some will give in to this pressure just to prove that they are just as normal as the next person." End of quote. So the pressure, as you see, is very great on your children. Believe me that your children are asking us questions that I am embarrassed to mention to you now. The sexual problem amongst Coptic teenagers is a real problem. It is the only thing on their mind at the moment. They always ask, "Why can't we have a boyfriend? I need to feel secure. I need to feel loved. We are not going to do anything wrong," they say. "How come in the Catholic Church they allow dating? And these are some of the innocent questions that they are asking us. Imagine what the other questions may be like. Please do not turn your back on this problem and think that it is not in your household and that it's only with the people next door or the people down the road. Your children sometimes are afraid to talk to you because they do not feel close to you sometimes. They are afraid of your reactions if they speak to you. They need to feel your love and they need to feel your friendship. The third point is that you need to understand the society that your child is living in. Just to give you an idea of what is influencing your children the most, there was a study which showed the following. In 1960, the five things that influenced teenagers the most in order were, first of all, the family. The family had the most impact or most influence on teenagers in 1960. This was followed by the school, then their friends, and then the church. These four things in order: family, school, friends, then the church. Those were the most four influential things on teenagers in 1960. If we go down 20 years later to 1980, we see there is a shift that takes place. Instead of the family having the most influence on teenagers, their friends take the number one spot. In 1980, their peers and friends have the most influence on them. Then this is followed by the family, and then something new comes in 1980, and that is the media, the television, the magazines, the newspapers and videos, etc., takes third place. And the fourth thing is the school. You can see by 1980 that the church has dropped out of the picture from the top four things that influence teenagers. If we come to the 1990s, we see another shift takes place, and instead of their friends making the most influence on them, the media, which was number three in position in 1980, becomes the number one thing that influences teenagers today. The media has the greatest impact on them now. This is followed by their friends, then the family, then the school. Also, the music that they listen to has a great influence on them. And sometimes you may not even be aware of what your children are listening to. Or you may go and buy for them CDs or tapes of music that they may ask of you to listen to, and it may be filled with lots of poison and words which are not suitable for us as Christians. And I always give the example of when I was in the convention last year in Canada, and a young boy who was about 11 or 12 years old, we were speaking about music, and we were speaking about a particular person, a particular artist, who is very evil and has very satanic songs. He would go on the stage and take up the Bible and tear it and throw it on the stage and do lots of vulgar sexual acts with other people that were with him or with animals, and many, many things like this. And yet this young boy of 11 and 12 years old would say to me, I don't care about him. I don't care about what he does in his personal life. I just like his music. I just enjoy listening to his music. And I was very shocked to hear this from a boy of this age. And yet he did not take any regard whatsoever to what the word said or what acts he was doing which would be contradictory to his faith or would be ridiculing his Christian faith. Where are the parents of this young boy, and why are they not monitoring what he is listening to? And perhaps they could have saved him from many, many troubles from this evil singer who he was listening to. So you need to be aware and be careful and to monitor what your children are listening to, and to research and try to find out if this is really suitable for them. If you do not know or your language in English is not strong, ask and see. There is many people that can advise you and can help you in this field. So you need to be very careful and aware of what type of music that your teenagers are listening to. Also, the media has a great effect what they see on television, they try to copy, because this is what they regard as acceptable by their friends. The media will present to your young people a particular image, how to dress, what to look like, what makeup to put on, what type of food to eat, what type of clothes to wear. If you don't wear Tommy Hilfiger, then you are not accepted in the society. Or if you are not wearing Nike shoes, then that's not okay, it's not cool. These are the images that the society is projecting to your young people, and you need to make them aware that they should have other values, Christian values that they need to follow, and not to just follow blindly what the media is giving to them. So you need to be then aware and to direct your children to what is right, and not to just follow blindly whatever hairstyle is the fashion today that they do the same, but to be a good role model to them. Also, drugs is a major problem in many schools, and you need to monitor your children and to make sure that they do not get down that road and get themselves into so many troubles as well, and to make them aware of the many different effects that drugs could have on them. And another thing which is now coming up, and something new, perhaps relatively new, is the internet. And many of your children may have an internet account at home and a computer, and you may think that they are using the internet to study and to do their homework or to do research, whereas perhaps they may be using the internet sometimes for other activities, such as looking at pornographic sites, and there is about 1,000 new pornographic sites being put up on the internet each week or each month. And so you need to be aware then to put certain limits or be careful of what your children are seeing on the internet. And you may not even be aware of it. You may think that your child is there doing their study on the internet or doing a research, and you may knock on the door or come into their room, and just with one click of a button, it looks as if they are studying and they are working very hard, when perhaps they are not doing that at all. So you need then to see what types of programs or software that you need to put on your computer so that they would not have any access to any of these things which could damage their life, both spiritually and emotionally and psychologically, and could affect their marriages in the future. You also need to be aware of what is happening in your schools. What are your children learning at school? Do you know? Do you go and visit their schools? Do you know what they are learning? What are they being taught? When I was in Boston a couple of months ago, one of the teenagers told me that in their school they have a class every now and then where they collect all of the school teenagers, and they have a class for them where they call some of the homosexual teachers, some of the homosexual pupils or students, and they show them or speak to them on how to accept homosexuality as something natural in the society now. I'm sure if you knew that this was being taught at your schools, you would very quickly, I hope, reject this and complain about it to the headmaster or to the principal. So you need to be aware of what activities are happening, what is being taught, what is being allowed, what is being disallowed. Someone else told me that in one school they don't allow them to bring a Bible, for example, or they don't allow them to mention the Word of God. Of course, we could not accept anything like this, because this is a free country and everyone is free to speak what they want. So they should not be disallowed from speaking about God or about their faith amongst their peers. So you need to be aware of what's happening in your schools as well. You need to be involved in every aspect of your child's life. And when they feel that you are really concerned about them and that you really are showing this love and care, they will love you more and more, and you will build up a wonderful relationship with them. What is wrong with a father or mother going to watch a basketball match or a soccer game that their child may be involved in at school, and to make them feel that you care, even though that you may not benefit from this? Child, it means quite a lot to see the support of their parents at such activities. Also, you need to be a good role model. to your children. Sometimes parents don't give this good example in front of their children, like a father who may come to church on a Sunday morning and have Holy Communion and then walk out of the door of the church and light up a cigarette. What example is such a father giving to his children or to his son, that this Holy Communion that he has just taken really has no significance or has not changed anything in his life? So we need to be very careful with such things. I remember someone saying a story once about a lady who had a young daughter, a very small child, and once a friend of hers came to visit her at home. And after she had left, she was speaking with her husband and saying, "Oh, this person, she is two-faced." And anyway, her daughter was there when she was saying this, and her friend had gone, and then a few weeks later she came to visit her again. And this young girl kept going around this lady, going around, circling her, looking at her very strangely. And this lady said, "You know, what's wrong with this girl? She was okay a few weeks ago. Why is she looking at me like this in a strange way?" And so she asked her, "Why are you doing this?" And she said to her, "Oh, because mommy said that you have two faces, so I'm trying to find your second face." So we need to be careful then in what we say to our children, that we do not set a bad example to them. Or a mother that may go to a wedding banquet and begin to dance in the banquet. What example is she setting for her daughter? And finally, the spiritual life of the family is really what is so important and the conclusion of this discussion. If we read in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, verse 4 to 9 in the Old Testament, it says to us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I wonder how many of our families can put these golden words into action, where our homes become living Bibles, where the Bible becomes a central place where the family gathers together every night to sit together and to read the Bible, to pray together, to praise God together, to teach the Word of God to your children. Your children are lacking so much in spiritual nourishment and in knowledge of the Bible, because you cannot just rely on the church to look after this for 1 hour a week when they come to Sunday school or to the youth meeting. But you have such an important role to play in bringing up your children in a proper Christian fashion. And you are the first teachers of your children. From the day that they are born, they should feel a spiritual atmosphere at home, an atmosphere of love between the father and the mother, of communication, of praising God, of praying together, of reading the Bible. So from day one, your child is planted within this spiritual atmosphere. And believe me, if your child is planted in this spiritual atmosphere right from day one, then you will have no fear whatsoever that they will stray away from the church or from the faith, because you have planted them within the source of life, which is the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach the Word of God to your children and teach them how to apply it. Not just to learn the words off by heart or to learn verses, that is very good. But also, more importantly, teach them how they can put these words into action. Teach them how to live the Bible. When you read to them the verse which says to turn the other cheek, when someone slaps you on the right cheek, to turn the other cheek, teach them how to put this into practice. get them to try to experience it throughout the week and see is it difficult or easy for them to put this into practice or not. And the same with any other teaching that you come across in the Bible. Teach them how to experience the Word of God that's not a dead book, but it is alive and can change their life if you really take the interest to do so. Also, if we read another very important few verses in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. These are the words of Solomon, the great sage. We should learn from him to bring up our children from early age in the way that they should go. Bring them up in a Christian way, and when they get old, they will never depart away from the Lord. Also, in the New Testament, St. Paul, in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You need to train your children and not to just rely on the church to do that for you. As I said, that they need to feel wanted, they need to feel loved, they need to feel that you care for them. They need to feel that you are willing to listen to them. Many times parents will come back from home very tired from work, and this is very understandable. But you need to have time to sit with your children and listen to them. Instead of saying to the kid, "Oskut ya wad, ana mish fadilak dilwat, ana awz istrayah, ana ta'ban mish shogla tul nahar." Don't say that to your children. Don't tell them that you are tired and sick and don't want to have anything to do with their life. But spend the time, find the time after you rest a while, and spend time to listen to them and listen to what they have to say, and get into discussion and communication with them. You need to make time for your children. The average time that a parent spends with his child in useful talk each week is about 30 minutes. 30 minutes is all that parents can find for their children for useful talk each week. It is not enough whatsoever. Also, you need to show them respect. Just as you expect them, of course, to respect you, you should also show respect to your children at the same time. And another problem that always comes up with teenagers when discussing with them is that lack of trust, that our parents don't trust us. They are too conservative and they feel that we're going to do something wrong and they don't want to give us any trust. You need to give trust to your children and at the same time to then observe to see how they are using this trust. Are they using it properly? Very good. If not, then you need to make them aware of it and perhaps take this trust back again until they know how to use it properly. So these were some of the things that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. Also, you need to learn from other families, from the history of the saints, from examples in the Bible, and to learn from them on how to have a good, holy Christian family. And glory be to God forever. Amen. If there's any questions, we can spend a few minutes answering some questions on this topic. Yes. What's that? I think the laws are there to protect young people, to protect the children, because unfortunately many parents abuse their children here in this country. Maybe this is not a big problem amongst Coptic families, but in general in the American society, unfortunately, that this is a serious problem, and these laws the government has put to protect young people from such abuse. And I think that you need to be careful then, that you know, you don't go around bashing your child for no reason or hitting them, but to try to find a proper way in dealing and disciplining your child without hitting. You do not need to hit. If you know and you learn how to discipline your child in a proper way, then hitting will never be something that you have to do. I remember when I first came here, someone sent me a comment that, you know, some parent is hitting his teenage girl. She's about 17 or 18 years old, and he's bashing her. And he thinks he's still in Upper Egypt or something like this, or maybe that may be accepted there. It's not even accepted as a Christian in our Christian faith for someone to do this. So these laws are put there to protect young people.
And the Christian kid went to the school, he'd be avoidable of other kids because he's the only Christian between among the lot of kids that are down there. So how are we going to raise the kid the right way, and how are we going to teach him that he can have with this kind of society?
As I said, if you bring them up from a very young age to understand what is correct, Christian teaching, and to discipline them in a proper way when they do something wrong, there's many ways of disciplining other than hitting, then your child will know, okay, this is the proper way, this is what my parents are teaching me, this is what the Bible is teaching us. They will know from a very young age that this is what is right. When they hear different ideas or different things, when they go to school or whatever, and they come back and tell you these things, you should sit and discuss with them and explain to them what is right and what is wrong and why this is wrong. So if you do that on a regular basis, then you will build this relationship with your child, and he will understand what is right from wrong. Any other questions? Thank you for your time, and glory be to God forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We thank you, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, for the many blessings that you have given us in our life. We ask you, dear Lord, to strengthen us and guide us, and to help all the Christian families in this country how to bring up their children in an upright way, according to your will, according to your commandments, for the glory of your holy church and for the glory of your holy name. We ask this, dear Lord, through the prayers and intercessions of your holy mother, Saint Mary, and Saint Mark, and all the saints who pleased you ever since the beginning. And we ask you, dear Lord, to hear us when we pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. محبة الله الآب ونعمة الابن الوحيد وشركة ومهبة الروح القدس فتكون مع جميعكم. امدوا بالسلام. سلام الرب يكون معكم.